Today is Sunday, the 15th of March, 2015. We're happy to welcome back. And now he becomes Vic Rain, because where he was, there was endless snow. Wow, Vic Snow. And here we had one snowstorm of... I'm getting an echo, 1 second, let me make this lower. This place, this building is falling apart. Supposed to build the fix the microphones. They told me what they're going to do, but between the word and the reality, I haven't crossed the bridge yet. You're hearing an echo, so make it a little lower till you don't hear an echo. Now it sounds okay to me. Okay, it's good.
Great. You need to invite Harry Fishel in there. Show rounds.
I can't hear.
You need to call Harry Fishel. Take him in there. Show him around.
And you don't mean Harry Fishel. I mean the Joe Griss.
Sorry.
Joe Griss. Right. Okay. Let's pick up. And believe it or not, even when I tell a joke, I make a mistake, as you'll see in a minute. Last week, we dealt with the Lubavitcher Rebbe's viewpoint against building an Erev. Melbourne, there is an Erev. How can you have an Erev? And we dealt with the whole concept of a Rebbe and a Talmud and a Rebbe and a Chassid. And I told you this is a problem we all have to live with. Those of us who are not Chassidim, we certainly don't act exactly the way our Rebbeim act. And Chassid, as you saw from the bloggers who blogged in when we spoke about the Shluchim and purchasing the rights from the Afro-American borough president of Brooklyn, and here the Chabad, who are experts in getting public relations, here I remember I showed you the picture last week, they're smiling, and the president of Brooklyn is the happiest guy in the world to rent out all of Brooklyn to the Chassidim. They should be able to build an Erev. And the blog is blogged from today to tomorrow. Has the Torah changed? Has the Rebbe's viewpoint changed? How can we do it? Can't we do it? So, first of all, I want to mention to you that one of the bloggers said it in Melbourne, we've had an Erev now for 15 years, and there's never been a Shabbat where the Erev was not good. So our dear student, the Yomo, I don't know how he does it, he just showed me on the computer how he went to Google, went to the streets, went to the electric poles, saw how they're putting up a white little, what is it, wood?
We can't. The PVC pipes.
Pipes. And they go all the way up to the wire so that the wire goes directly over the lechi. And this is something you learn when you have to build an Erev Halakha L'maisa, or you look at all the books on Erev in English today. You'll see that this is one of the problems, that you can have the electric wires, but how do you have it going, the telephone wires, whatever wires you're using, but how do you have it going directly over the lechi? And here they went out of the way, not just the 10 tefachim lechi, Yesh Mekilim, they built the lechi all the way up. So Yomo found one pole where the lechi was evidently removed, the white pipe. And we trust that they fixed it when they checked the Erev on Thursday. Now, and that got us involved in, I said to you, on my own lifestyle, I've faced this question many times. When do you do exactly like the Rav? And do you have a right to your own independence? Now, obviously, being a Talmud of the Rebbe, not being a Chassid of the Rebbe, it's a different type of relationship. And the Rebbe insisted that we have our own independence, and the stories are legendary. I'm a ear witness to many of them, where the Rebbe would convince us intellectually what to do, and then when you would ask him, but Rebbe, my father stands for Abdullah, my father stands for Kiddush, he would say, so you do like your father did? The Rebbe sits for Abdullah. All right, he sits, but you have to stand. By the way, there's a whole machlokes whether the Rav actually sits or stands for Abdullah. Intellectually, was committed. You have to. I have a lot of different Torah, and I don't want to be flippant, but if I start doing the Torah, why you have to sit for Abdullah, it'll be the end of anything else today. So I mentioned that my own practice is very simple. Anything I discussed with Rebbe, or anything I saw Rebbe do, I'm like I mimic Rebbe. I'm like a monkey mimics a human being. I'm the monkey mimicking my Rebbe. But when I know certain things the Rav did, but I didn't see him do it, so there I do as my seichel, as my own understanding tells me. And one of the examples I gave you was Leil HaSeder, I take three matzah. And I said, I'm well aware, Machlokes Rishonim, he's a Tosfos, whatever, but the whole concept in Lamdas, why do you need three matzah? Because lechem only. Well, if you need lechem only, it has to be out of the lechem mishnah. In other words, if you're breaking a matzah, it has to be lechem mishnah. There should be a kiyum to show this is lechem only. If you have three matzahs, what's the big deal? You break a matzah. But that matzah is not part of lechem mishnah. So that was the Gaon Shiter. I believe it follows the Rif. And that's exactly what the Rav does. But I mentioned that my Seder, I always take three matzah. What can I do? I was a kid, a little kid in Yeshiva Katana and the day school, and they told us, Kohen Levi Yisrael. And I had the chutzpah to say, to me, the concept of a Kohen Levi Yisrael is very nice, but it's a baba ma'aseh. What does that have to do with Leil HaSeder and three matzah? So I just want to tell you, my dear student, Rabbi Aryeh Liebman from Crown Heights, sent me in, Kohen Levi Yisrael as matzah is not a fairy tale. The Alter Rebbe writes it in the Siddur, and the Rebbe shows a makar in Kabbalah for it. And sure enough, here's the Siddur, Seyed Agada, HaYisrael, V'alav HaLevi, V'alav HaKohen, and here from the... the Alav HaLevi, and they quote the Arizal. So I want to apologize to the Chabatnikim. My Litvish Yetzer Hara still doesn't convince me that this is the Emistic Lamdas. But if the Ari HaKodesh says it and the Alter Rebbe brings it down in the Siddur, I have to bow my head. And now I'm in good company with taking three matzah. Do you follow me, Moshe? I'm in good company, Baruch Hashem. But nevertheless, it's a delicate problem. And to what point do we just do everything like the Rebbe? And at what point do we act independently? Our own thinking, our own judgment, halakha l'maisa. I gave you a classic example, Yantav Sheni Shel Galyut, where the Rav, I mean, with my own ears, I spoke with the Rav, and we went through all alumdis, and it's not a topic that I'm ha'aretz in. And I keep one day here, 2 days in Chutz Laretz. And that was the Rav's psak. So you take Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, originally when he went to America the first time, I remember in the early 70s, mid-70s, and he was an American Shavuot, and he kept 2 full days. People were going crazy. Did he go in Aliyah? Didn't he go in Aliyah? No one could comprehend the Rebbe's psak. But later in life, Rav Aaron Paskin, one day in Chutz Laretz, one day a day, you know, again, it's one day, but you can't do malacha in front of other Jews. You look into the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see what I'm saying. And I asked Rav Aaron, what happened that you paskined one day? And he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach holds that way, and he thinks Rav Shlomo Zalman is right. So that's an interesting example of do we follow the Rebbe? Don't we follow the Rebbe? And he can give many, many other examples. I can tell you, going back to a long, long time ago, must be the mid-50s, and David Hartman, Zichrono Livracha, was a Bren, was a Lakewood boy, had just come to YU, and he got enthralled with the Rav, and he was Duvi Hartman of old, not the rabbi, doctor, professor David Hartman of Jerusalem. So I remember that year, a report came back to us, and again, I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I can tell you the report came back to us, Adam, in YU, that the Rav blew shofar, had someone blow shofar in Maimonides with a stopwatch. Yitzchak, is this true that the
Rav,
why don't you know? Where did you daven Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah.
I didn't daven in Maimonides.
Oh, you did? Oh, I see. You didn't live that close. Okay, I'm sorry for bothering you then. My apologies. But by the way, this week, Rav Asher Weiss, what I have for you here is dynamite. He deals with Melechat HaMishkan, how we learn Melacha, but he brings down the Medrash that Bezalel built the Mishkan with Shemat HaKadoshim. Knew if it's Shemat HaKadoshim, how do you learn Melacha from what angels do? You follow me? What Kabbalah does. Very fascinating. Anyway, come back here. So the word came back to New York that the Rav blew the shofar with a stopwatch. That this has to be 9 seconds, this has to be 3 seconds, whatever. How you use the stopwatch on Yontif, all right? The Rav knew what he was doing. I trust. It wasn't electronic, it was a plain stopwatch, all right?
Just a plain watch.
Whatever. The Rav knew what he was doing. So then I remember we asked the question, we little kids in the Beis Medrash, we asked the giants of the yeshiva, is this what Yiddishkeit is about, that you have to blow shofar with a stopwatch? And I remember Duvi Hartman, no, it's not the masses, but in every generation we need the Dole Yisrael, who set an example in dedication to mitzvah. The Rav is setting the example for us. We can't be on that level, but we have to know they could die them like that, all right? That's an interesting approach to it. All right, now let me go one step further, and in a minute we'll pick up where we left off. On this whole question of Erev, so my Talmud from Washington Heights, Ilan Riza, sent me the connection to Harpades. And I quoted Harpades to you, and we're going back 1962, February, and an article by Rav Shimon Schwab. And Rav Shimon Schwab, you're talking about an individual who is one of the most highly respected Rabbanim in the greater New York area in the United States. He represented German Orthodoxy. He took over for Rav Yosef Breuer. He was Rav Yosef Breuer's assistant. He came to America, went to Baltimore. He Americanized, I would say, to a much greater degree than Rabbi Joseph Breuer. And he was highly looked up to. Talmud Chacham, Hirshian, had learned in Litvashi Yeshiva. All right, this was Rabbi Schwab. And all of you know, in Washington Heights, at one end of the Heights, near the Harlem River, you had Yeshiva University with Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, and at the other end of the Heights, near the Hudson River, you had the German Orthodox community with Rabbi Breuer, and afterwards with Rabbi Schwab. And Rabbi Schwab takes issue with Rav Menachem Kasha, also a fascinating individual, a Gaon Adir, a Ger Chassid, Upper West Side. It was amazing to some of the people who have lived in New York City over the decades. It's a who's who in rabbinic greatness. So he took issue, we don't need an Erev in Manhattan, and he writes a very strong article, a very strong critique, that who we building the Erev for, and he attacks modern Orthodox Jews. They're going to carry anyway, they couldn't care less, and if you build an Erev, they'll do even worse, they'll carry pocketbooks, and he writes pocketbooks and pocketbooks transliterated into Hebrew. You have to be able to know what he's talking about. What in modern Hebrew, is there a word for pocketbooks? Tikim. Tikim is the word, but is there a finer word, a more sophisticated word?
Well, you say Tikshul Shabbat, everybody knows that.
No, but I understand. Right. My wife on purpose uses a little tick on Shabbat, so no one should think it's a pocketbook, and most women do that. But he goes into an attack, and we ended off the class last week where he says, what do you think? These masses of YU people, I imagine he means young Israel people at that time, young Israel today, Alex, is very different than it was at that time. But he says, they're going to listen to you, they're going to go across the bridge from Manhattan to the Bronx. I don't know what bridge he's referring to, because as far as I understand, we're talking about Manhattan surrounded by water. So what does he mean? The Willis Avenue Bridge, perhaps? Then there's a bridge from Washington Heights into the Bronx called the Washington Bridge. Not George Washington, but Washington. That bridge I walked over hundreds of times, if not thousands of times. And I don't believe there was an Erev from the Heights at that time. So Avram, whatever he's leading us to, this bridge, that bridge, they mean they're going to walk with a pocketbook in the middle of the bridge, they're going to put down the pocketbook. Stop being naive, he says. And then I ended off the shiur when he brings this tremendous proof, which you know I've lectured on and written about and published about. And he says, "Why, you want to see how worthless these types of Orthodox Jews are? The greatest Gedolei Yisrael, 11 of the greatest Rosh Yeshiva, issued a psak in 1956. It's forbidden to have a synagogue council and forbidden to have a mixed board of rabbis. And how many people, how many rabbis have listened to them? Just as the rabbis didn't listen to them on that level, no one's going to listen to us if we say Manhattan's surrounded by water. They will make a few tzirat ha-petach when necessary, and Shalom al Yisrael can't carry muksa, can't carry pocketbooks, wallets, etc. Everyone is going to laugh in our face," and that's exactly where we left off. We'll go further. We'll go further. Hold off your comment.
If you have something in his background that
Well, in his background, he had a Litvish background, a Yeki background. You're familiar with Washington Heights. It's a much more rabbinic-centered orthodoxy at that time. It was not like a Litvish where everyone is learning and you're turning out poskim. Royals was a community that worked, and the rabbi reigned. His word was law. But Rabbi Schwab, as you know, was not part of the YU world. Rabbi Schwab, his children today, I once met with one of his sons. It was very difficult for them to deal with me because I wear a kippah s'rugar and Baruch Hashem, I know I can say read and learn, and I know how to learn. I'm not ashamed to defend myself with knowledge. So I saw a right wing with a real liquid perspective. And Yitzchak, you know that under Rabbis Breuer and Schwab, Washington Heights ultimately moved into the Lakewood cycle, the Lakewood circle, the Lakewood orbit, call it what you wish. Machlokes exist in Washington Heights. They've had some public outbreaks in the last 10 years. But until today, they've gone for Lakewood, not for YU, despite the fact they are children and grandchildren of Reb Shimshur Fall Hirsch. Now, I do want to say, have a historic feeling here. This was written in 1962. We're dealing with something written more than 62 until today. We're dealing with something more than 50 years ago. What's fascinating today, that synagogue council no longer exists. And very few well-known rabbis belong to mixed board of rabbis, particularly in the big cities where you have endless Orthodox rabbis. The old timers, let's say Rabbi Lukstein, certainly, I don't know if he belongs to the New York Board of Rabbis, but he certainly would fit in there. He's older than I am. He's from a different generation. You take Rabbi Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, I doubt very much if he would be a member of the mixed board of rabbis. You follow me? And synagogue council disappeared 20 years ago already. 20 years ago, synagogue council disappeared. So it shows you what he is yelling and crying about and screaming about at that time was true. But 50, 60 years later, who rules America today? And do I have to go any further? I'll tell you something that I lose sleep. I hope I can. Someone listening will find a solution. But all of you know that for me, I can't speak for you, but a moment that how do I say that in English? I'm overwhelmed. I'm ibegerasht. When that movie surfaced of the Chafetz Chaim, What that movie spoke to me. Could you imagine 1923 to have a movie of the Chafetz Chaim coming to the Knesiyah Gedolah and to look at him and to see him? And I have to tell you, Yomo did fabulous. Did you show your classmates? Yomo did work with the computer after I printed. Remember, I printed it out for all of you. I gave it out in class. Yomo did work making the Chafetz Chaim larger, blocking out those around him. Where like the picture I have, the Lubavitcher Rebbe in my office, where the Rebbe is there, and the whole thousands of Chassidim fade into the background. Yomo did with a picture of the Chafetz Chaim. So that picture of the Chafetz Chaim, they're interviewing people, and among the people they interview is someone that I spoke about in my Monday class. They were the Ashna Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Deutsch. And Rabbi Shimon Deutsch, and it's a pleasure to hear him speak, and you're dealing with a man who's a lamdan and intelligent and has wide-ranging knowledge. He knew about this movie about the Chafetz Chaim a number of years ago. But there was a copyright problem. He doesn't reveal, he doesn't say, if I talk too much, I'll be sued. So I don't want to reveal. Then he says, this is the bombshell he drops. You know what he says, Rafi? That there's another movie. There's a movie of Reb Shimon Shkup giving shir in Yeshiva University. Then he corrects himself, because Rakefet may have listened to my shiurim. That's an anachronism. 1928-29, there was no Yeshiva University. It's Yeshiva's Rebbe's Kolchan. He says, Yeshiva's Rebbe's Kolchan. And he says, the people who have this movie don't want to release it, because it will show it's a disgrace for Torah that Reb Shimon Shkup taught at what became YU. So I plead with whoever has that movie, curse and maledict YU. Say that Rakefet is an Eisvaf. Say that YU has been destroyed. You can maledict me from today to tomorrow. Say whatever you want about YU of today, of the year 2016. But 2016, correct. But please, Yeshiva Simtz Chalchanan was the only act in town in 28-29. Terev Adas Chaim Berlin were lightweights. Give us that movie of Reb Shimon Shkup. But you see how the world has changed, Avram? Rabbi Schwab is yelling, shouting. In 1960, if a movie like that would have surfaced, it would have been released. The YU people had power. Today, YU, Lakewood has power. That movie, who knows where it is? Torah Vadas has power. Chaim Berlin has power. It's a different world today. So put that into parentheses for what he's saying. But now, let me come to what to me is crucially important, and this is the continuation of his article. And here, we are future rabbis sitting in front of me. I have to tell you, what he says here is a problem you're going to be dealing with day in and day out in the rabbinate in the 21st century. In my life, I've spoken thousands of times, if not tens of thousands of times. A gentleman is sitting here named Chaim Herbie Maltz, who doesn't know why he's alive, and he's right. He was not destined to be alive. He was...
I've got
three grandsons. That's your revenge.
Is it
Tzanchan? Baruch Hashem, you know that I have three Tzanchanim in my family too.
One is in Sayeret Tanki.
Unbelievable. I had also in Sayeret Golani. So Herbie heard me speak long before you were born, when I arrived in Essex County in 1962. So I've spoken tens of thousands of times. Over these generations, three times, people cut me off or walked out on me in public, slapping my face. three times. Yes, you're wondering what this has to do with Rabbi Schwab? Exactly. You're going to see it like a hand on a glove. A glove on a hand. The first time, it doesn't count. It was from a young rabbi, and they want to make Kiddush in front of me, in front of people, in front of my eyes, on non-kosher wine. I write about it in Washington. And that's a question, what should I have done? I protested, did I do the right thing? Didn't I do the right thing? And it was a different era. The president got mad at me, chairman of the board. They didn't want an orthodoxy where a rabbi would dare
Dr.
tell...
No,
not Dr. Weinstein. I don't want to mention that. This is in Balakin with nothing to do with Newark. And they walked out, fine. Nothing to do with this topic. Ah. But now we have a real problem. The two other times, people smacked my face in public. The conservative movement went out of business. It became reform. Why the reform and conservative don't merge? The answer is very simple. Living organisms want to continue living. We have built-in institutions, faculty, schools, libraries. So the world is big enough, call this reform, call this conservative. They're both surviving. I can't say they're thriving today, but they're surviving. But you see, we live in two worlds. I've spoken about this till I've lost my breath. All of us live in the Torah world and we live in the Western world. The greatest challenge to us as individuals, as rabbis, as spiritual leaders, as melamdim, how do we keep the Torah pure and not allow it to be corrupted by the Western world? Not everyone overcomes this challenge. And beginning with the 1970s into the 80s, there was a tremendous swing to the right in American Orthodoxy, including Yeshiva University, including Griscoll. I would say by the end of the 1980s, 95% of the students in Griscoll davened with black hats and wore the uniform. That was the way of life.
What year did you say this was?
By the 1990s, early 1990s, absolutely. I can tell you more stories. There was once an incident here where a student challenged my interpretation of the Rav. I think I've told you. I remember him very well. Don't want to mention his name. Lovely individual. I said, what? He says, well, my Rebbe in America told me the Rav was like this. I said, you're challenging my intellectual honesty? So I set up a whole recording system. I brought in tapes and had the Rav speak for himself for 2 weeks. At the end of the 2 weeks, this student made a big party burning his black hat in public. And my Rebbeim lied to me, and I told him, I was very upset by that. I don't want you to burn your black hat, because in the hate, if you want to wear a black hat, each one is entitled to their own religious expression. But be intellectually honest. This swing to the right, and it could be also the influence of the American scene of the 70s, the 80s, the rebellion, the revolution, started affecting the Torah world. And some of our finest products, including my own students, we right now see developing before our eyes a new conservative movement. You can call it whatever you want, but my dear students, when you have Orthodox rabbis justifying a partnership minion, you're in conservative Judaism. I'm proud to say I said it 10 years ago, and people looked at me like I'm the Haredi of Griscoll. Today, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Staub says it, Rabbi Lichtenstein says it, Rabbi Rabinowitz says it, Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a limit what we can do in adjusting ourselves to feminism. I'm not in favor, if you saw the interview with Rabbi Koopman over Shabbos that appeared in B'Sheva, a fabulous interview. It catches Rabbi Yehuda Koopman exactly as I knew him. I can't get over, he hasn't changed a bit from the day I met him in 1969. Michlala, Rabbi Kukman. And look, we can't take the girls and tell them you can go to university, you can go to graduate school, but you can't open a Sefer Kodesh. It's not going to work. So there are adjustments. I got a tremendous shaila dealing with a very delicate issue of marital relations with illness, a very delicate shaila. And I told the person to call my Talmidah, Dr. Dina Zimmerman, Dr. Dina Cohn Zimmerman, who was one of the first women. She was the very first grad. There were three women, I believe, two of my students, who are Yoatzat Halakha. I said, and afterwards, let me know what she says. And I loved her answer, and she was able to paskin the shaila much better than I could have, because she knows the woman and the medical point of view involved, and involved a certain dakut, I don't know how to say it in English, but you had to understand the medical problem and the woman's state of mind. So I understand, but Dvar Hashem zu halacha, and we're struggling with it. Now, you take the feminism, you take that issue, God have mercy, the homosexual issue. I never thought that it's my student from this kollel, not just my student, Rabbi Lichtenstein's student, Rabbi Soloveitchik's student, he wrote the letter that our attitude to the homosexuals has to change. I don't want to quote it further. I've spoken about it many times. No, but more than anything, we have a terrible problem today with the men who refuse to give a get. And any man or woman raised in the Western world will state the Torah system is unfair. Why does the man divorce the woman? Why can't the woman divorce the man? In the world in which we live, it may very well be that the next president of the United States will be a woman. If a woman can be president of the United States, if Golda Meir could be prime minister of the state of Israel, if the newspapers have their way, Yediot, Mariv, Haaretz, it could very well be our next prime minister or the one after the first will be a woman. Livni. Giveret Livni. Could very well be. So why can't a woman divorce a man? And you see here, you have a conflict head on with Torah Tashem Tamima. I'm not here if by your age you don't understand the Torah system, I raise my hands. I mean, if you're getting smicha and you know how to slaw shecht an animal, you have to understand what the Torah system of marriage is about. As the Rav used to say, the Torah is Torah Tashem Tamima. But humans come along and ruin it. And these men who insist you want to get $100,000. I know one man in the five towns, they tell me he's given away millions of dollars to help women get gitten by paying off recalcitrant husbands. Millions of dollars. All right? I know I had a case on my desk when my daughter became the first Tawenet Rabbani in the history of our people, and I'll take out 2 minutes and tell the story. Let me give credit to someone. So Na'amat, do you know what Na'amat is? Na'amat is the Histadrut's ladies organization. So Na'amat came to my daughter and they were overjoyed. A woman is now going to represent men or women in rabbinic court, the first Tohenet Rabbani in the history of our people, and my daughter passed all the exams in Evanescence, Choshen Mishpat, and she can represent Al Pi Halacha, not just a secular lawyer. So they told her there's an Aguna in Svat. I've told you the story. If I told you, tell me, I don't want to waste time. An Aguna in Svat. And she's been an Aguna for 7-8 years. And they're desperate to help this young lady who was just about 30 years of age get a get. So they tell my daughter he was last heard of as being in a Chabad kollel in Svat. So I told my daughter, call the chief rabbi of Tzfat, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bespitsky, Zeicher Tzadik Levracha, lo aleinu, he was killed by a messianist, because he's a Chabadnik Bespitsky who was normative, and he was run over. Don't ask, the person who killed him is in jail, rotting away. And I mean, it's beyond comprehension what Jews are capable of doing, what humans are capable of doing. It's beyond comprehension. So she calls Rabbi Bespitsky, and I said, you tell him you're my daughter. And she says, he didn't know what to do for me, calls me back 2 days later, tells me exactly where the man is today in a Chabad Kollel in Ashkelon. My daughter asks me, Abba, what do you know? What do you have to do with Rabbi Bespitsky? He didn't know what to do for me. I said, now I'll tell you, Tain, it's very simple. What did I write my doctorate on? She says, Rabbi Revel. Rabbi Revel is Rabbi Bespitsky's great uncle. If not for my doctorate and the book subsequently, no one would know the name Bernard Revel today. The man, the first man to build Torah in America. And they're very makir teifa. She contacts the kollel in Ashkelon, my daughter, and yeah, the guy says he's willing to give a get. He wants $15,000, his share in the apartment. At that time, an apartment in Tzfat cost $30,000, $25,000. We're talking years ago. Now, where do you get $15,000? So my daughter calls back Rabbi Bespitsky and tells him the story. He tells my daughter who to contact. It turns out that Yossel Gutnik of Melbourne, Australia, has a gabbai tzedakah in Yerushalayim. And I have to tell you, my daughter called the gabbai tzedakah and he said, I gotta ask Yasala, call me back 2 days from now. Give me time to reach Melbourne before email. Gutnik, sight unseen, not even knowing all the details, said to be matir in Aguna, give a check for $15,000. Tisha B'av of that year, I went to the Gutnik Library as you come down to Meir Shearim, and I picked up the check, gave it to my daughter. My daughter had the woman get a get. The check changed hands, and Na'amat made a big party in honor of my daughter. And years later, in Melbourne, I was able to tell the story in public with Yossel Gutnik's permission. I presented him with Rakafer Aaron. I said, I owe you a big gift, but at least I can give you a small gift. My collected writings at that point, the 2 volumes of Rakafat Aaron, was presented at a farewell dinner in my honor to, and I told the story of the tzidkut of Yossel Gutnik, married to my student Stella. Stirner, I should say. Stirner Gutnik. Stirner knew Gutnik. No. So you have a terrible situation where men can torture women. The state of Israel, we have a solution. You all know the solution. Men, and more, are thrown into jail, solitary confinement. We have very few self-inflicted agunot, self-inflicted, I mean by humans, by males, in the state of Israel. Outside of Israel, there are tens and tens, if not more. The stories, I know some of them, it's beyond comprehension how a human being can be that cruel, can so desecrate Kvod Hashem, Kvod HaRabbanim, Kvod Halacha. Now, along comes a new movement which holds out hope. The old rabbis have been cruel. The old rabbis have been machmir, have been stringent. The old rabbis don't have a heart. And I've listened to tapes of rabbis that I got smicha with, or they got smicha a year later. I couldn't believe my ears. You have a whole new movement today. And we're going to change everything. And you all know, Zikui Haget, I don't want to go into any more details, because thank God it's quiet. And I know the topic inside out. I'm not on a meritz in these topics. It just doesn't work. If there's halacha, there's halacha. It's a divine system. If we don't have halacha, be a humanist. Do whatever you want. Be a liberal. Tikkun olam. I went to yeshiva for so many years and studied with Gedolei Yisrael. I never heard the word Tikkun olam mentioned once. I see some of the rabbanim, talmidim of Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, my talmidim. Wow, Tikkun olam. I believe in Tikkun olam absolutely. But first, there has to be Tikkun of the Jews. We haven't. I don't know. Is Netanyahu a Shomer Shabbos? Bushi interviewed in Jerusalem Post writes on Shabbos. Tikkun olam, Tikkun of the Jews. And you've created an aura, an atmosphere that people like Rakefet are Mordei Ha'ar. Do you know the story of Zionism? Lishkat HaChoshech. Sam, you understand that expression? You have to understand Haskalah literature. Lishkat HaChoshech. Backwards, primitive, cruel, dark, black. What a blood libel. Rakefet is cruel, primitive, black, no compassion, but I'm a servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm a servant of God. There's a halachic system. I have to live within it. Two more times people walked out on me. Once in Minneapolis, a man travels 10,000 miles to give Shiurim in Minneapolis, and I said something critical of Chovevei Torah. Women got up, two women in public, walked out. Chovevei Torah, salvation. Rakefet, Lishkat HaChoshech, black, evil. This past winter, when you were worried about that big snow falling, I was worried about getting out of the country, got caught up in the strike of the pilots. Wouldn't wish it on anyone to go to the airport and be told no planes are leaving. What an experience. Now, one of the talks I gave was on Boca. And Rafi, I was an idiot. I learned now I will never accept a controversial topic in Chutz Laretz. I'm there, hit and run. The Kollel, I'll speak on anything. Of course, what I don't say this Monday, I'll say next Monday. Follow me? The Monday afterwards. Have time to explain myself. An hour and 15 minute talk? So they asked me to speak on Zikui Haget. So I thought in Boca, I have a lot of Talmidim there, the Kollel. I had a big audience. Vic, were you there at that talk? You
were not at that.
Boca.
No,
you weren't in Boca. A lady got up in the middle of the talk, smacked my face in public. Mordei Ha'ar, Lishkat HaChoshech. No compassion. I have to defend myself? What, I wasn't Matir and Aguna? You haven't studied Washington to Washington? You haven't seen the ninth volume of Rav Ovadia's Shelot and Shuvot? Yeah, be your own man. But there's a halachic system. If we live with it, we're good Jews. If we don't live with it, we've broken away. There were Sadducees, there were Karoyim, Reform, Conservative, Reconstructionist. God have mercy. So what am I talking about? Now let me come back to Rabbi Schwab. And here you have the heart of his article. And when I studied it, I cried, because I said, here, I understand him 1,000%. He says, 1962. Don't know whether this has any applicability today. He says in 1962, who listens to the rabbis? Who respects the rabbis? Everyone criticizes the rabbis. The rabbis are cruel. The
not
rabbis.
Elizabeth,
you had Rabbi Teitz, Baruch Hashem, you had a different community there. We're talking New York. He says, what do you mean you're going to declare you can carry in Manhattan? Manhattan, it's an island. No big problem. Put up a few Tzurat HaPetach and you'll solve the entire problem. Is this on? No muscle here. One second, let's see. Give me 1 second. That's on. No, the output. Yeah. Oh, it's the whole I wonder if the electricity is working. How? No, it's on. No, it's not working. Okay. You know what? Yeah, no, you won't be able to do it. All right, we'll work with that. And it could be one of the circuits fell. Do you know how to open that box? Any key will do it, basically. Okay. There was a problem this morning with the... with the electricity. When I walked in at 6:20, something had fallen. I was able to fix it. But so you go to the city hall and you arrange to rent to Liskar the island of Manhattan, and you put up a few Tzurat HaPetach and everyone can carry. The public is going to go crazy yelling and cursing and maledicting the rabbis. How cruel that for decades they didn't let us carry. For decades they interfered with our lifestyle. All they had to do was put up a few passageways, rent the city, make an Erev for the people, Erev Chatzerat, v'shalom al Yisrael. And he says, we're going to be Matim Manhattan. The prestige of the rabbinate will fall to an all-time low. And then he says, son, amazing, circuit breaker fell. You heard the air conditioner went on. Tell Yomo to come in. Tell him it worked. Avram, do me a favor. Tell him. Lead him in. It's on. No, it's on. Alright. What's he doing? He's playing with it? Okay. Baruch Ato Adonai Melech Olam Shekoni Yomid Varo. Then he says, the conservative reform will have a field day of laughter, he says. And here you see he's Americanized. We're going to rent Manhattan for a dollar bill, for a $5 bill. Wow, the Orthodox Jews are like the Indians who bought Manhattan for a few dollars and trinkets. And he goes on and on, telling how the prestige of the rabbinate will fall to an all-time low. And how can we dare change the status quo? All right, so this too is part of Rabbi Schwab's responsum. It's a very... It's off again.
Mary's on the phone with Ellie, so they're not talking.
You mean it went on and off, on and
yeah,
off?
Yeah,
it
keeps going.
All right. It was at the Shembul moment, a little water, and we're okay. And Moshe, keep everyone here. We should have a minyan for Marav. And I have to ask you a question after class, but let's move. And this is fascinating, Rabbi Schwab. Now, is this a real fear? At the time that he wrote the tshuva, absolutely. Is this a fear today? Absolutely not. Why? The world has changed. Today, Baruch Hashem, there is more Torah study than there ever was before in modern history of the Jewish people. Just think for a moment that in every Orthodox shul in the big cities, you may have an official rabbi, you have 3, 4, 5, 10 people with smicha. You have shuls today where the main qualification to become rabbi is whether you can give a daf yomi sheyur. Follow? I mean, it's a different world. So today, when you speak about a Reuven, with so many books already written about a Reuven in English, people can understand. It's not a simple problem. It's not that the rabbis are cruel. It's that the rabbis are bound by Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha, and we have an ongoing debate. And it takes a while. At a certain point, it could be the more lenient opinion will win out. Could very well be Fuk Hazimai Amar Dvar, that you have to see what the people are doing, how the people paskin. But today you have an educated clientele. It is very different than 1960. And I can tell you in relation to YU, and I said this in a totally different context, but people told me I may very well be right. Yeshiva University of today, all of you know, is in the process of selling off Einstein Medical School. For my generation, Yitzchak and myself, maybe Herbie remembers, maybe Vic, when Einstein was established, we were so happy. We thought for sure, wow, yeshiva's problems are solved. Money will flow in, prestige, Einstein. Now, 60 years later, could you imagine the yeshiva is about to announce, I know the inside story already, but I don't know when the announcement will come, the deal to get rid of Einstein has been finalized. And this is going to be a tremendous saving on the yeshiva budget. So I want to ask a very simple question. Dov, good or bad for the yeshiva? Everything in its time. In 1953, it was the greatest thing in the world to put Yeshiva University on the map. It attracted money that would have never come to the yeshiva otherwise. It broke the quota system. Every medical school worth its name started fighting to get observant Jewish boys, and you have endless Shomer Shabbos residency programs and internships. All right, many years later, with all the hospitals, it became a burden to the yeshiva, but the yeshiva accomplished what it had to accomplish. Fine. Tell me, isn't there another problem? Can anyone raise the other problem? What have I just told you? What was unique about Einstein? No classes on Yontif. All the eating facilities under the OU Hashkacha. No, what's going to be? The Federation takes over, Montefiore takes over, the Jewish community of Greater New York takes over.
sure they'll keep that.
So,
still
part, Alex, 1 second. No, within three, you'll see if they announce all the details, you'll understand what I'm saying. Within 3 years, yeshiva has very little input. For the first 3 years, they do. Afterwards, very negligible input. The savings on the yeshiva budget, are you sitting? $2 million a week. A week. Figure out what that's worth over the year. You're talking a quarter of the budget will be saved, Be'ezrat Hashem.
Now the medical school is going to buy it?
Medical school will be under Montefiore. It will be there. Einstein will continue. The name will continue. The hospital will continue. Ah, part of the stipulation, as explained to me, was that Einstein, Montefiore agree that it will always be Shomer Yontif and Shomer Kashrut. Ah, in 1962, if you had an agreement like this, they'd laugh at you. Who gives a hoot about Yontif? Who gives a hoot about Kashrut? Tell you even more. In 1962, 95% of American Jews never knew there was a holiday of Shavuot. Right or wrong, Vic? Come on. Even in, you lived in Brooklyn. You lived in a little ghetto there to a certain degree. Sukkot had the mazel. It was right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Pesach had mazel. It coincided with Easter. Hanukkah had mazel. It coincided with Christmas. Who heard of Shavuot? There was a rabbi in Maplewood, South Orange, trying to build an Orthodox shul in, where none existed. I once heard the rabbi, his name was Aaron Rothkopf. I heard him get up right after Ne'ilah, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the next service will be held," and he announced Rosh Hashanah 1 year later. And everyone laughed. You know Yiddish? No, Avram, a bitterer gelechta. You've heard that expression? How do you translate that? A bitterer gelechta. A bitter laugh, the sardonic laugh. You follow me? A sarcastic laugh. But who knew? Who knew? Today it's a different Judaism. Thanks to Chabad, I have to say Chabad gets the, don't have to quote me, quote the Rav in his interview with the Marib, what was it, 77, quote the article by a guy named Rakefet, where he quotes the Rav in the Marib interview in the Jewish Action issue in memory of the Rebbe's 20th Yahrzeit. Give Chabad credit. Give YU a little credit. Agudat Yisrael, Schottenstein. I mean, think what's happened. Lakewood. Satmar. I meant me a fan of Satan when it comes to Hatufat Brit. I think they're Mamish Shafi Karsim, Pshuto Kamashmal. No one is frimmer than the Chatam Sefer, I'm sorry. No one is frimmer than Rav Shimshon Ful Hirsch. No, Hatufat Brit. No one is frimmer than Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. All right, but Satma, whether you like it or not, they're in the New York Times, they're in the headlines. Ah, today. Even a reformed Jew knows that there are Jews that have to keep kashrut and can't write on Yom Tov and can't have classes. So you see, on this level, what Rabbi Schwab said may not be applicable, but it's extremely fascinating. The rabbis, are we cruel? Rakefet. What's wrong with Zikui Haget? Afterwards, people debated with me. One of them, I told you, I don't know if I said it here, said it in private discussion. One of them got smicha with Yitz Rubin, sat in the same class, got smicha 1 year after me. When did you get smicha? Yitz 63, got smicha with you. He's a conservative rabbi now in his retirement. He's Orthodox. His children are Orthodox. I'm beautiful. Yeah, what do you mean? Well, I tried to discuss the shlichut to do chalitza. Remember that came up in class that the rabbis went out of their way, but it just halachic doesn't get off the floor. He says, what do you mean it doesn't get off the floor? If you can make a shliach l'kadesh isha, you can make a shliach to do chalitza. I looked at him. Again, I'm being flippant to go into the lumdus now and explain to you. It would take a half hour, but basic Yiddishkeit is lacking.
Okay. Get rid of the whole concept.
Okay, no, say that. I don't know if they want to get rid of. I can't say the Chovevei Torah element wants to get rid of, but they've allowed Western value to overrun the halakhic barrier. The problems are real. I don't want to minimize. A guy who doesn't want to give a get, I'll feed in, you can beat the hell out of him. No, you beat the hell out of him, you're arrested. You see what's going on now with these guys with the cattle prod. They face life in prison, kidnapping, who knows what. But in Israel, Baruch Hashem, we have a solution. Thank God for that. It's another reason to say Hallel and Yom HaTzmut.
So why don't we change the formula? When the chassid gives the wife, his bride, Harayam Kadesh, we the Tabaz, who could not Moshe be served.
Right.
So leave it out, because we're not doing it.
So you see, Yitzchak, what you're saying is we would solve a problem but create hefkerit in marriage. If again, the Western world, when you were a kid, Ingrid Bergman committed adultery. Do you know that they wanted to throw her out of Hollywood? She couldn't get roles in films for years. It was an outrage. Today, when a Hollywood star doesn't commit adultery, they look down upon them. It's the world. So what are you going to do? You're going to say we're marrying you legally but not halachically, and you're not bound by the halachic configuration.
Then it would be also
we can come up with a solution.
I'd like
95% of the time it works. Are we going to allow the 5% that destroys Yiddishkeit ruin the other 95%? It's a terrible problem. In Israel, there's one Rav who claimed whenever he's Masada Kedushin, he definitely uses one aid who's Pasul, so that later on, if there should ever be a problem, you can knock out the marriage. All right, I don't know if that's the solution. Marriage has sanctity, marriage has holiness, marriage has Kedusha. Our sexual life has to be sanctified. That's the heart of being a Jew. This is why we have, I don't know, in my world we have a very happy percentage of marriages. I see my children, I see my grandchildren, I see my friends, right or wrong, you know, Bnei Akiva. And I say, part of that dedication, that ibigigebenkeit, the love, the success, is commitment to Tarat Mishpacha. We're not animals. We don't allow sex to rule us. We rule sex, and we use it constructively. I don't know. I'm a romanticist. To me, it's beautiful. You saw Rabbi Avadya's relation with his wife. You saw Rabbi Moshe's relation with his wife. You saw the Rav's relationship with his wife. I mean, overwhelming, beautiful, magnificent role models. And even you take the Mashkiach, whose first wife was killed by Hitler, I still remember his second wife and his delicateness to her. And I still remember, with tears in my eyes, I was in his house and I had coffee and cake, whatever, you know, she was Machabed, and I made brachot, and he says to his wife, Nem akuk amerikanische Kinder. Baruch Hashem. Anyway, the problem is real, and I resent the woman, and I don't resent people easily. And my grandson said to me, Shabbos, one grandson said, Saba, no one can be like you on a human relationship level. I said, try to be like me. Don't think it's impossible. But that woman in Boca, a man comes 8,000 miles, giving a lecture. You don't agree, you don't agree. But cut him off in public? Hundreds of people sitting there? All right. Don't get angry.
It's part of my nature. You accomplish nothing by getting angry. If you get angry in public, Rabbi Goldberg couldn't say anything. And if you accomplish, if you get angry, the audience will remember you got angry. It won't remember what you said. So that's a rule of the thumb. I don't get angry. You know that. But Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm cruel. Okay. Anyway, what Rabbi Schwab said. It's very interesting because it goes way beyond the Erev issue, and it reveals the Rabnit in 1962. Today, so many years later, we Orthodox Rabbanim have the same problem. And I can tell you, I was just in conversation, again, I don't want to mention names, but someone very big from American Orthodoxy. And I was discussing the YU Rashi Yeshiva in New York. Why is their influence so limited? You're a rebbeim. Among them, Gedolei Yisrael. I know them. I know them decades. I know them generations. And the answer is very simple. The minute you'll mention the name, don't mention this Rav, this Rosh Yeshiva, you'll hear people praise him, and you'll hear critics, right? And he's old-fashioned. That's not the note. He's always machne, this, that, the other. You mentioned this thing. And I know them intimately. They're not always machmir. Each one has his own approach. Each one thinks. So, you all know on Thursday, Chabad was here, and they, right, I apologize. I interfered with the whole system here, but I didn't realize I would not have a choice. They were supposed to do the movie of me in the in my office, but my office was, I never realized all the equipment they brought. I couldn't believe what's involved. It was like setting up a studio to do the Rav, documentary on the Rav, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha. So I remember there, wherever they interviewed people, how they had to set up a studio. I didn't believe Rav Heffer is set up a studio to interview a dummy like yours truly. But all right, the studio they chose was down in the office, the Abraham office, the whole foyer there. So people couldn't get in. The interview took 2 hours. So after the interview, the Chabadnik, who's well-placed in Chabad, I know who his father is, and these are normal Chabadnikim, terrific individuals. So he asked me, who's the focal figure in YU? And I told him, that's not about problems today. Kolzman, the Rav was active. There was a focal figure. Today, we have many great individuals, but there's no focal figure. And this concept that has creeped in, seeped in, crossed the boundary, the big Western world, and here people are cruel. And boy, he says it here, you can check out Paradise, I believe it's online, paragraph after paragraph after paragraph with examples. And then he goes further. He says, and again, this will, I don't believe it would apply today. He says, Shmirat Shabbat in America has a status of a goses. It's disappearing. It's disappearing. How many people were Shomer Shabbos in Boston, where you grew up, Yitzchak? Herbie, how many people were Shomer Shabbos in Essex County?
Elizabeth
was Rabbi Teitz. But Essex County, they all moved to the suburbs, the biggest reform and conservative temples. How many people were Shomer Shabbos? How many people were Shomer Shabbos? The Upper East Side of New York. With all due respects to Kehillat Jeshurun, Rabbi Lukstein Shul, in the 1960s, Shabbos morning, maybe you had 150 people. Today you have 800 people, 900 people. A place, if you put all the minyanim together, it's probably well over 1,000 people on a Shabbos morning. It's a different world. And he says, Shabbos, he says, is like a goses. And with a goses, the halacha is, you're not allowed to move the person, right or wrong. You've studied Yeruvadeya. If you budge the person, move him, you can hasten his death. He says, Shabbos is like a goses. If we change anything, chas v'chalila, we can hasten its death. There'll be nothing left of Shabbos. And he goes on and on with examples. when it comes to kashrut, when it comes to shidduchim, when it comes to chinuch, with people, with chitkabrut, with movements that we're friendly with, the whole generation does not listen, does not follow. We can't innovate at this time. And once again, he says, who are we fooling? They're still going to bring the pocketbooks to the synagogue, even if the rabbis plead with them not to. But here's the bomb. Sofa shel davar, in the last three paragraphs, he agrees with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. What can he do? He knows how to learn. If you know how to learn, you understand very well there's a very strong case to be able to build an Erev. You're able to build an Erev, you stop people from being Mechalel Shabbos. You can't be Yotzei L'chol HaDeyot, but we're never Yotzei L'chol HaDeyot. In America at that time, who had Glat Kosher? And even if you have Glat Kosher, no, where's Alex? He needs Beit Yitzchak. Am I right or wrong? He goes with all these father coolers and chumras. No, you can't be Yotzei L'chol HaDeyot. Pesach is coming in Israel. Some of you go Asfadim, Baruch Hashem. You can eat everything. Some of you are like me and like Yitzchak, so we'll use legume derivatives. I was Matin Eder in 69 at Rav Unterman's say-so and advice and guidance. Today, Baruch Hashem, others won't touch anything that has any legume or trace of it in it. I just this morning saw potato chips already, kosher of Pesach, palm oil, very unhealthy, the worst possible oil as far as your heart goes. But the Eidah Haredit uses it, everyone falls into line. But it's very hard to be Yotzei L'chol HaDeyot. No one can
even
be...
Even Rabbi Asher Weiss from the Litvisher Belt.
Right.
For example.
He's not Litvish, he's Hasidish.
Hasidish, okay. That's
but he's open, he's open.
Right, so are you eating pills?
Okay.
So therefore, it's not only Achilas Kelet, it's also...
No, pills are a lot easier to lahatir. So you'll notice, and by the way, in the state of Israel, I have to say, I'm told the entire pharmaceutical industry will not use a wheat filler in the pills all year, so there shouldn't be a problem for Pesach. At the most, they will use a corn filler. You follow, there are certain things that are made to fill the pill and make it into a pill. Corn already, as far as in a pill, it's absolutely mutter. It's not a shayla whatsoever. But the imports, there you can have imports. For instance, the anti-Satan pill, a year ago for Pesach, I go for my prescription. They give me a different box. I say, that's not the box I'm using. They say, no, we changed who we order from. This is kasher Pesach. There's no problem with wheat flour in it. Now, I noticed when I got the pill earlier this month, again, it was the same one, kosher lePesach. So, even where you lachatchila look to take a pill that's kosher lePesach, which I do, but if you have to take a pill for medical reasons and there's nothing available, even the Eidah Haredit will tell you you're allowed to take the pill. You follow? Because it's love kedei achil, it's love for lachilat kalev, it's a pill, it's not food. So there's a lachatchilan ebidiyeved. But what I'm saying is, no one here can be firmer than the Chafetz Chaim. Remember the story I've told you so many times with Rav Shach, when they wanted to asa sheitlach, and they were collecting signatures to asa sheitlach in Israel. Women shouldn't wear sheitlach, as for chalila. And they, by the way, I agree with part of it. There are women, they put on sheitels, they look like Parisian women, and they don't look like what the Gemara calls snuat. But they went to Rav Shach to get his signature, and Rav Shach refused to sign. And they asked Rav Shach, Why do you refuse to sign? And Rav Shach said, Mitonish find Fruma vidah Chafetz Chaim. You can't be Fruma than the Chafetz Chaim. And his wife wore a sheitel. So you can't be Fruma than the Chafetz Chaim who paskind la halacha bal nefesh yachmir. But halacha la maisa, he too understood that there's room for kula. So Rav Schwab now comes out like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. There's only one solution, he says. Yes, make an Erev, but keep it quiet. Keep it a secret. Solve the problem of those who carry on Shabbos and at least appear to be Shomrei Shabbos or care about Shabbos, that they will no longer have a terrible sin. Solve the problem of those that have to carry a handkerchief or keys on Shabbos, but do it in a way that will not destroy Shabbos in New York. And he says, Sheichuna harabanim hamachriyim ketata mekilim, and let those rabbanim who are mekil, like Rav Kasha, v'yiskeru et ha'im en chatan meisach ha'ir k'chol chilchot ha'iruvin, and rent the city of Manhattan, the island of Manhattan, from the proper governmental authorities, v'lo yifasamu et ha'davar klal, and that is printed in very large letters, do not publicize it, v'oz ef nafsham hitzilu, the rabbis have saved their souls and the souls of the people who carry bishogeg or carry thinking it's permissible or carry thinking it's not a terrible isha, and we have to do it b'li pirsum b'chashai, quietly. And if we do it this way, all of us rabbis will agree b'chefetz leiv. Avokol ha'kahal al yotzi ish mi beito b'yom ha'shabbat. But those who really care, the kahal of Yerayim, the kahal, it could be a reference to kahal adat yeshurin, K-A-J, as his congregation was known, chas v'chalila, we will not carry. And here we come back to square one. Ubifrat shahagon Reb Moshe Feinstein Shlita katav b'feirush shebechol ofen balei hanefesh shachmirul al atzmam velo yotziu kva techila. And Bifrat, again, he doesn't mention Reb Aaron Cutler here. It could very well be that he accepted the viewpoint that we're not positive what Reb Aaron's ultimate decision was, although I still stick by what I've said, that he asked, and even though he didn't say that to Reb Menachem Kasha, there could be other reasons. That's on. This is not on. I'm saying we'll manage. Unbelievable what's going on, but kafi daka shel chayim. And but Reb Moshe Feinstein, the posek achron of the generation, the igrot Moshe, Reb Moshe asses, we have to asa too. And he ends off the tshuva v'aleinu lekafot lahachzakat haTorah b'dar hatzayir. We have to hope that the generation, the younger generation, will be strengthened in observance. V'chol b'neinu yiyu limudei Hashem, and all our children will be learned. V'yad gedolei haTorah tiyeh tekifa, the great rabbis will have power. V'yoz kol echad yismach lishtatef b'zchut chad rabim v'letet yad letaken eiruvim b'chol ir al pi halacha v'al pi hasfarer gam yachad v'shalom al Yisrael. Harav Shimon Schwab. And what he's saying here at the end is also very fascinating, because you see that Meika Hadini understands that you're allowed to build an Erev, But what troubles him, look at the words he uses, that he says, al pi halacha v'al pi hasvara. It's not yet enough al pi halacha to build the Erev, but you need the social factors, the reality in where we live, how we live, who we live with, the state of the community, the state of the learning, the state of the mind. Also notice, may very well be a reference to its own community. The younger generation will be more learned. And this is the Rav of Washington Heights, the Yucky community, Kilat Adat Yeshurun speaking. And if I open up from Washington to Washington, Rakefa tells a fascinating story that happened to him on the A train going downtown when he gets on in Washington Heights, and a man gets on in Washington Heights, sits down next to him, and this young little Rothkopf kid is a matmid in high school already, and he's carrying a Mishnah Brura with him, and he's learning the Mishnah Brura on the train. And the person next to him looks over his shoulder and says to him in a German accent, you understand that print? And the little Rothkopf says, yes, absolutely. And the man starts unburdening himself and he says, I'm from Frankfurt, I live in Washington Heights, I'm a dentist, my wife wears a shaitel. And the little Rothkopf kid is shaking, his wife wears a shaitel. Who saw women with shaitels then? Rothkopf's own Rebbeim had wives who didn't cover their hair. And the man says, but I can't read that type of print. And Rothkopf, this little wise Alec kid, says to the man, so how are you Mava Seder every week? And he says, I do it with the Hershey and Chumash and the Hirshian Perish. And it could very well be that what Rav Schwab is referring to, where he says, let us hope that the younger generation, Bnei Yehu Limudei Hashem, V'yad Gedolei HaTorah T'yet Kifa, he's describing what's happening in his own Kehila, that he chooses Lakewood over the Hirshian viewpoint, the Hirshian lifestyle. And this is what ultimately happened. Today, the average balabas in Kehilat Adat Yeshurin can read a Mishnah Brura, can read Ketav Rashi, can open up a Shulchan Aruch. I imagine they have a number of different Daf Yomis there. It's a different world. But he's describing the world in 1962. And I... One second. Give me a second. I don't know how many times the Hirshians agreed with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but this is one example where there is Torah agreement, total agreement, between Lubavitch and Rav Schwab. Can you build an Erev without people knowing about it? Aaron Rakefet is very quixotic and very doubtful. All you know, I know one thing I was taught in the Mossad by Aryeh Kroll, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Aryeh Kroll said to me, as only Aryeh Kroll could, Harav Rakefet Teida, you should know, if you tell one person what you're doing, you're telling 1,000, and those thousands will tell another. Before you know it, the secret is all over the world. Watch what you say. So I'm very quixotic whether it's possible to build an Erev with Tzuret HaPetach, to do it secretly, to rent the city from the governor, to make an Erev Chatzeret. But nevertheless, two great minds said the same thing, Rav Schwab, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Yitzhak, before, I just want to ask you quickly, Alex, we were talking about you when you were out. Are you makpid on Beit Joseph Shvita?
No.
No. So how are you with Svardi then?
Because I was told by various rabbanim that you can be so
makpid. So one second. But you're makpid on Glatt.
What? All the Shvitas are Glatt.
In America, not in Israel.
They're not.
In America, everything is Glatt.
Right.
OU is glopta. I mean, what they sell.
So, and then here are all the Mahadran Heksher.
Oh, so you're mapped on Mahadran Heksher. No, because if you're a Beis Yosef person, you have a problem with the Hungarian glot. You follow? The Beis Yosef is even more machmir, it seems. I'm not a total expert, I just have general knowledge. But when we were...
Are any of the Shkitas here?
Beis Yosef Shkitas here. There's Beis Yosef. Then I understand the Ashkenazim don't eat the Beis Yosef because they have a Seder. It's endless. What can I tell you? Halacha lemaisa, I generally don't eat meat simply for health reasons. But whatever meat is put in front of me, if that's the food, I will eat it. You understand? It's like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's psak on Shvius. Okay, it's the same thought process in my mind. Yitzchak, what did you want to ask?
I want to ask why it is that it's considered frum when you put out an edition of a chumash to have Rashi script not in Israeli form, but in Rashi form. For example, they put out the volume of the Rav on chumash.
Right.
And the OU.
Right.
So all of a sudden, in the middle, small print, so you can't even read it to begin with, is Rashi's script.
Right.
Why did they put it in the regular?
Okay, so because there's so many Sfarim written in Rashi's script that unless we're going to totally depend upon the Bar Ilan computer where it's typed in, you have to know the script. Without the script, how can you get to all these Sfarim? It's simply axiomatic to learning. In other words, one of the greatest gifts we have is that we read the Rashi script interchangeably with the regular script. But on the other hand, if you go into ancient scripts, for instance, take the way the Iraqi Rabbanim wrote Hebrew, you're not able to read a word. You understand? So if we don't teach it to our children, all these books that are in Rashi school will be lost. But you're right, there is in Israel, due to Israel, there is a movement underway. You take, for instance, Dat Mikra. Dat Mikra is entirely in the regular typography, regular Hebrew. So there is a movement underway. Life will decide what's what. I know that when I look for a source that I can't find, that I don't have the book here, so Yomo will get it for me off the Bar Ilan. So he gives it to me in a printout from the Bar Ilan computer. To me, that's not real. I have to convince myself that that's the Mari Bruno. You follow? But the new generation raised on a computer won't have a problem. They look at me like a relic. This is life. Life is a gradual process. My grandchildren all read Rashi script because they all went to schools here that insisted upon it. The transfer, as Alex says, is not that hard. Okay, now wait, before I end off. Yes, Moshe.
I heard that some people, Dafka, want the Rashi script because they want people who actually really know what they're talking about to read it, so they're not specifically not transferring over certain sfarim to make it more difficult to read.
One second. To keep people from reading.
Not to keep people from reading, so that they really to make sure that they're understanding that they know what they're reading.
What you're saying, but on the other hand, take a look at Art Scroll, take a look at Schottenstein. What is it, 73 volumes? I mean, it's overwhelming, and everything is there, and everything explained. I find it hard to use because it's too much there. I much rather prefer the new version of Steinsaltz. It's fabulous as far as I'm concerned. But here, I tabaya kol hashayur, on and off.
Yeah, no, it's rather
big. Okay, please fix it for tomorrow, because tomorrow I have a very important lecture. Okay. Ani gome, anachnu mitalin marav, od dakam, od rak ten li mitma. Gentlemen, I want to know something now. I understand there officially is school next week. How many of you promised me they will come to shir on Sunday? Okay, so we have class next Sunday and next Monday, Bezrat Hashem. Now, what did we do today, Rav Shimon Schwab, with Divrei Musa, with a lot of practical implication? And I'm only sorry Vic wasn't there in Boca to see what happened so that I would have living testimony that, Sam, I'm not making it up. It really happened. Now, to tomorrow, I just want to tell you, is it's going to be more than a shiur. I'm going to get involved with the heart of Yiddishkeit. And the heart of the shiur will be devoted to the Rebbe and to the Rav. And it's a little bit of what I alluded to in the interview, but only a little bit. Now, we'll daven Marv in a second. Let me just, who wants to be chazan? Vic, we'll keep you awake. You be chazan, so do them over here. Does anyone want this? This is an example of another Hebrew version of the Gemara, Vishinantem, translation. It's unbelievable what's happening here. Yitzchak, give me your impression of building of Malachar on Shabbos.
He really believes that the Malachim did the work.
He quotes the Medrash. What do you want? If anyone's interested, this was given to me by a Talmud of mine from Chabad. Be sure we're left with a million. Talmud of mine in Chabad. It's sources dealing with Aram, done by a Messianist, but the sources are good, I told him. Anyone want this? This it has three different Nigunim on it. Oh, we're getting rid of everything good.
Okay.
All right, this I'll talk about tomorrow.
I have no idea. I'll put it on my computer and then you can take it from me.
Yeah.
Can I have a copy of the email about the Alter Rebbe, about the Matzatz, Kohen Lev Yisrael?
You can have it. Beautiful. Absolutely. Gentlemen, let us stop. And Vic, take a sit.
I have something to answer, Mark.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Thank you for sharing
this. Thank God that this works. Baruch Adonai.